Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter number 25, stanzas 1 through 4. Lord, who shall come to thee and stand before thy face? Who shall abide a welcome guest and within thy holy place? 1 through 4 of Psalter 25. Scripture reading for this afternoon hour can be found in Leviticus chapter 24. Leviticus chapter 24. But first, we will make confession with the 12 articles of our Catholic, undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Leviticus chapter 24. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive, beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually. Without the veil of the testimony in the tabernacle of the congregation, shall Aaron order it from the evening unto the morning before the Lord continually. It shall be a statute forever in your generations. He shall order the lamps upon the pure candlestick before the Lord continually. And thou shalt take fine flour and bake 12 cakes thereof. 2/10 deals shall be in one cake. And thou shalt set them in 2 rows, 6 on a row, upon the pure table before the Lord. And thou shalt put pure frankincense upon each row, that it may be on the bread for a memorial, even an offering made by fire unto the Lord. Every Sabbath he shall set it in order before the Lord continually, being taken from the children of Israel by an everlasting covenant. And it shall be Aaron's and his sons, and they shall eat it in the holy place, for it is most holy unto him of the offerings of the Lord, made by fire, by a perpetual statute. And the son of an Israelitish woman, whose father was an Egyptian, went out among the children of Israel, and this son of the Israelitish woman and a man of Israel strove together in the camp. And the Israelitish woman's son blasphemed the name of the Lord and cursed. And they brought him unto Moses, and his mother's name was Shelomith, the daughter of Dibri of the tribe of Dan. And they put him in ward that the mind of the Lord might be showed them. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Bring forth him that hath cursed without the camp, and let all that heard him lay their hands upon his head, and let all the congregation stone him. And thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel, saying, Whosoever curseth his God shall bear his sin. And he that blasphemeth the name of the Lord, he shall surely be put to death, and all the congregation shall certainly stone him, as well the stranger as he that is born in the land, when he blasphemeth the name of the Lord, as shall be put to death. And he that killeth any man shall surely be put to death. And he that killeth a beast shall make it good beast for beast. And if a man cause a blemish in his neighbor, as he hath done, so shall it be done to him. Breach for breach, eye for eye, tooth for tooth. As he hath caused a blemish in a man, so shall it be done to him again. And he that killeth a beast, he shall restore it. And he that killeth a man, he shall be put to death. Ye shall have one manner of law, as well for the stranger as for one of your own country. For I am the Lord your God. And Moses spake to the children of Israel, that they should bring forth him that had cursed out of the camp, and stone him with stones. And the children of Israel did as the Lord commanded Moses. So far the reading of God's holy word. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. O Lord of heaven and of earth, who art holy, and who art lifted up in majesty, sitting upon thy throne. Thy word proceedeth out of thy mouth, and it happeneth according as thou dost speak. And Lord, when we have read out of thy holy word, that awful judgment upon that awful sin, what is man yet that thou art mindful of him, that thou dost not cut each and every one of us off and cast us away from thy holy sight, because thou lookest not on the outward appearance, but thou seest all that lies in our hearts. And then there is not one of us that is able to put his hand into his bosom and to take it out clean. But our sins call for thy judgments, Lord, that we may be given by thy own grace to mourn and to weep, that we may receive a knowledge of our sin, a true sorrow therefore, that we also may be found by a true and living faith in thine only begotten Son, in whom there is forgiveness for the greatest of sinners. Oh, that thou may open up that treasure to those to whom it is an impossibility and who can see no way of escape because of sin against thee, and that do not know how to return unto thee when they were able to depart from thee, not only in our father Adam, but by our own doings, but to return, Lord, that is only from thy side. But thou hast indeed made a way, and it needs to be revealed unto that people who are not able to take one step to their own salvation. Lord, may it be that there are such also in the midst of us that do mourn for their own sin, and that need a mediator, and that need a redeemer for their poor, never dying souls. Lord, that thy spirit may be at work in the midst of us, in the young, but also in the old, that it may not return void unto thee, that which we may try to bring, but also that which may be read in the midst of our own homes and in the midst of our own families. Wilt thou give a seriousness about our life, that we may put away all our foolishness, and that we might seek with earnestness, and that one thing that is needful before that it is forever and eternally too late. Lord, look upon young and old together, and because we have no desire after thee by nature, but thou in one moment can make it different. Thou canst but speak one word, and we shall be healed. Lord, remember us. Do remember us also in this afternoon hour, when thy word will go forth again, when thou wilt give it, that also this word may be an arrow of conviction and of conversion in the heart of this one or of that one in the midst of us, that we may not be able to come out from under it, but that it may take hold of our heart, and that we may begin upon that journey that is from all the things of this life unto that eternal life. Remember all in the ways of this life also. Lord, may thou supply in the needs and in the cares which can lay upon the heart of each one of us in an earthly way also, that thou may give strength to bear the burdens and the crosses that are laid in this home and in that home, and that thou may give that man may find a place at thy footstool, to lay before thee all the cares, that it may be experienced also in our families, that it may be experienced by each of us in a personal way, that thou art the living God, that thou givest and that thou hearest, and that thou answerest prayer, that thou may give that thy word that may go forth over the length and the breadth of the whole world, and may also bring forth fruit unto thee. Send more servants into thy vineyard. Could it please thee in the day, in the time that is before us, when in the coming months the curatorium will meet again? Lord, then our theological school is still empty, and when we will send forth men, when men will run of their own accord, and then it can only be to the tearing down of the walls of Zion. But Lord, when thou wilt convert them, and thou wilt call and send into thy vineyard, then it shall be to the building up of those walls, and then it shall be to the extension of thy kingdom. Lord, we beseech it of thee. May thou remember us as a denomination, and the many vacant congregations that are amongst us. Oh, that those who truly fear thy name may be sent upon those pulpits also, and that many may have to be converted, and that thou may work with that same spirit that thou hast worked in the days of our forefathers, that thou would not leave us to the devices of our own hearts as a judgment that we have departed so far from thy testimonies. But Lord, thou art able to bring us again.
Oh, thou art able to turn us. Oh, we beseech thee then for the work of thy Holy Spirit in a rich and in an abundant manner in the midst of us as a denomination. Remember all consistories, elders and deacons also that do labor. And when we can be in ourselves so ignorant and so empty as office bearers, Lord, may thou teach us and may thou fill us with thy Holy Spirit, that we may receive wisdom for all the concerns of individuals and families in this life, but also that we may receive that double portion of thy Spirit that thou hast laid upon thy servant, and that we might be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Do remember husbands and wives. Lord, thou knowest what sin has brought into this world and how many difficulties that there can be. Oh, that thou may give the self-denial that is necessary to live with one another in peace and in love, and that our children may receive an example before their eyes in father, mother, in grandfather also, and in grandmother, that may strike their young hearts, that they may be drawn, that they may also desire that portion that they may see in others. Lord, remember our government, all those that reign and rule over us and that make decisions on our behalf. Remember those that are in the prisons. Remember all handicapped ones and those that are blind and deaf and dumb and have other handicaps in this life. Remember also those in the warfares. Lord, remember the soldiers day by day. Oh, that thou would spare life on both sides. And may thou preserve life, but may thou give that thy truth may also be given, spread over the length and the breadth of the earth, that men might learn to fear thy name. Wilt thou look upon us in this afternoon hour? Lord, remember also the school, the teachers, and the principals, and all those that labor day by day. The bus drivers, wilt thou keep our children over the dangerous ways day by day? And wilt thou give that the fear of thy name, oh, that it may dwell evidently and manifestly in that place, that there may be of thy Spirit to bless that labor, and that reverence for thy holy name may be found therein. Give it also in this afternoon hour, Lord, when we are called once again to bring a portion of thy word, and then and that which we have received from our forefathers, that is for us so much instruction. But Lord, we are so ignorant, but wilt thou help us, and wilt thou give grace in our soul, love for the souls of men, and wilt thou teach us all. We ask it in the forgiveness of all that is sinful, for Jesus' sake. Amen.
While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 428, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. How blessed are the perfect in the way, who walking in Jehovah's law with pleasure, preserve their piety from day to day. How blessed are they who make his word their treasure, who keep his testimonies and display their love for him whose goodness none can measure. We announce it did not go into the bulletin, but next week, Sunday afternoon, there will be a Dutch service in Lethbridge led by Reverend Sonneveld. Psalter 428, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Congregation, Solomon has written that a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. What does that mean? Is it then important what all men, is it then important what this world thinks of us? Did the Lord Jesus not say, "Woe unto you if all men would speak well of you"? We know that Absalom wanted to keep his name in remembrance, and therefore he made a pillar for himself. We know that it was also the intention of the men of Babel, and that they would make unto themselves a name. Thus, and what does Solomon speak about when he says that a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches? A good name is a name that no man may justly condemn. And why not? Because it is righteous before God. We speak about the name of Job with reverence. And why? Because we can read that Job was a man that feared God and did eschew evil. But even this man, Job, complains that his name was made into a byword among the people. And that is that they were mocking, that they were laughing at that name of Job. The true church will also walk in that same way as Job if they are truly faithful in that which they are called to in this world. Because we can read that that name of the church that will also be mocked. Paul said that he was made as the filth of the world and as the offscouring of all things. In that way, the church will walk after the way of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Then we can read that he had a name that was above every name in this world. And yet we can read of the mocking also of that name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what that name is, boys and girls. That is the name Jesus. And what does that mean? That means Savior. But what did they say to him when he was hanging upon that cross? Then they said, "He saved others. Himself he cannot save." So they were mocking with the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. But what a serious sin that this is, as we can read it in the third commandment that we hope to consider with you in this afternoon hour. The third commandment, that is, "Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain." And that we consider from Lord's Day 36, questions 99 and 100. Lord's Day 36, question 99. What is required in the third commandment? Answer: that we, not only by cursing or perjury, but also by rash swearing, must not profane or abuse the name of God, nor by silence or connivance be partakers of these horrible sins in others, and briefly, that we use the holy name of God no otherwise than with fear and reverence, so that he may be rightly confessed and worshipped by us, and be glorified in all our words and works. Question 100. Is then the profaning of God's name by swearing and cursing so heinous a sin that his wrath is kindled against those who do not endeavor as much as in them lies to prevent and forbid such cursing and swearing? Answer, it undoubtedly is. For there is no sin greater or more provoking to God than the profaning of his name. And therefore he has commanded this sin to be punished with death. So far our Lord's day. God's holy name, first, the reverence commanded concerning this name, second, the seriousness of using this name in vain. God's holy name, first, the reverence commanded concerning it, second, the seriousness of using this name in vain. What is, congregation, the purpose of a name? That is to identify. That is to distinguish. We do that with objects in this world. We give them a name so that we know of what we are speaking. All of the animals were given names by Adam. People are given names. But also God himself has many names. What a multitude of thoughts. Does a single name bring into our mind? And when we would say but one name, then we would provoke thoughts in our mind. And then we may even kindle emotions in our heart. The mention of a single name that can even instigate actions within our bodies. Thus, there is so much that is connected unto a name, and yet we can be so mistaken in our conceptions. It can be just that we say the name of dog and that a child becomes very much afraid. But it can be that that dog is so very, very gentle. Thus, there can be such a great misconception. We read it in the Word of God that it is possible that a man would have a name to live and yet be dead. Thus, a great misconception. The name of Paul that did strike fear within the church of God. Why? Because they knew that name and that there was a persecutor in that church of God. But that Paul, he had been so greatly changed, and then it was not necessary that they should fear this name anymore. And now in this afternoon hour, we are to consider together for a little while the name of the Lord. And we know that the Lord has so very many names, but those names, they are different from men's names. Why? Because the name of the Lord is always fitting unto himself. That is not necessarily true of our names. It is possible we may have the wrong conception of who that the Lord is. Why? Because we have a darkened understanding. But that is not because of that name of the Lord. No, the name of the Lord that is always fitting for Him, that is not just a description of who that the Lord is, but the names of the Lord are actually the Lord Himself. Thus there is a union, an essential union between God and the names which He calls Himself. We cannot separate these things. The names of God do not contradict His own nature, His being, who He is. No, they speak about who He is. And those names are given unto God, not even for the purpose of just distinguishing Him from man, but actually for the purpose of revealing who God is unto us. Thus, those names of God, they are of such very, very great importance, because it is thereby that we learn to know Him. Thus, the name of God, that is actually equal to God Himself. And thus, when we trample upon the name of God, and then we trample upon God Himself. But when we honor that name of God, and then we give honor to God Himself. And that is why the Lord has given a special commandment that was devoted especially to the hallowing of His name. That name would not be trampled, but that name may be hallowed. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. What is that? To be vain. To be vain, that is to be empty. That speaks about a certain falsehood, vanity, worthlessness. Thou shalt not take that name of the Lord thy God in vain. What does the Lord say then? That thou mayest not use my name in an empty, in a worthless way. The Lord has accused the false prophets that had gone before the children of Israel of causing them to err from His ways. But how is it? That was not only by their lies, it was also by their lies. But the Lord says also, by your lightness. By your lightness, by your vanity, by your emptiness. We know that the Jewish people, in their superstition, they go to a different extreme. That they do not want to use that original name that the Lord has called Himself by. Because the Lord has revealed Himself unto Moses by that name of Yahweh, that is that covenant God, that is I am whom that I am. And because that God is so holy, that God is so lifted up, that God is so majestic a being, and that they speak so directly of that essence, of that being of God in that name, and then they are avoiding its use. But the Lord hasn't revealed Himself. The Lord hasn't given unto men His names so that they may not be used, but
that they may be used in a reverent way.
On the other hand, we know that we live in a time wherein that name of the Lord in a special way is used so lightly, so in vain, without thinking and without meaning. We must remember that many people have no intention to use the name of the Lord in vain when they are doing so. Many do not even believe that when they use that name so lightly that they are actually taking that name of the Lord in vain. And therefore, when we are called to speak to such people, then we must be careful because they need to be instructed. Then it is our duty, when those circumstances are permitting, to speak about that use of that name of the Lord. Then that name of the Lord ought to be so highly esteemed by us that we are not able to bear and that that name is misused. But congregation, how lax are we not in this? How often do we not have our own name in a more regard than that name of the Lord? We must also be careful with our own language that we are not using substitutions for that name of the Lord. That we say, for example, oh my word, oh my goodness, and my word and my goodness, they are names of the Lord in the Scriptures. Do we not use that name of the Lord in vain when we make an outward profession of religion? But when our walk in this life is in such contradiction to that name that we profess, we can read it in the Word of God. The Lord says, therefore shall ye keep my commandments and do them. I am the Lord, neither shall ye profane my holy name, but I will be hallowed among the children of Israel. Why? The Lord says, you bear my name. And as you bear my name, and then you are to keep my commandments because you are walking in the sight of all others in Israel, yes, but you also are walking in the sight of the heathen. You are, as you are bearing my name, walking in their sight. Therefore, it may not be a light thing to you and that my name is borne by you and that you should walk in all the ways of that are against the commandments of the Lord. We read in the Word of God about professing the name of the Lord, but in works denying that name. Thus, that is to use that name of the Lord in a light way. Congregation, do we not do so even in the practice of our own religion? By our formality, listen to the word of the Lord. The Lord says, this people draw near to me with their mouth, and with their lips do they honor me, but their heart, he says, they have removed far from me. Thus, a heart far away from God and honoring the Lord with our lips. The Lord says, then you do not realize in your heart what you do. Oh, how often, boys and girls, when you pray, Do you think about what you pray? Or do you just say it quickly so that you may soon be done? And then we do not think, and then we do not have in our minds even him to whom that we pray. But it is not only you, boys and girls, that is also us. Then as fathers and mothers, as office bearers, then so often, even leading in prayer, but using in our most holy duties that name of the Lord so lightly, so in vain. Do we not do so often when we read the Holy Scriptures? And when we are reading and when our thoughts, they are far away from that which we do read. Do we not do so also when we are singing, having more thoughts sometimes about the music that we are singing and then about those words that we are singing? But congregation, much worse is the intentional misuse of this name of the Lord, as we read it here by our instructors, that we, not only by cursing or perjury, but also by rash swearing, must not profane or abuse the name of God, nor by silence or connivance be partakers of these horrible sins in others. Cursing, perjury, rash swearing. What is that? To curse. To curse, that is actually to ask God if he will bring his judgments down upon our neighbors. May we do that? May we curse? We read that sometimes in the Word of God. We can read of Moses that he has asked the Lord that he would not accept that offering of Korah. David also asked the Lord if he would condemn his enemies and that had risen up against him without cause. But congregation, then we must realize that these were special cases that we read of in the Word of God. That man was not just looking upon himself, but that it was actually that holy name of God that was in reverence in their heart that caused them to ask and that the Lord would judge their enemies. Then it was not only their enemy, no, but it was the enemy of the Lord. And then it was for the sake of the name of the Lord, the majesty of the Lord. It was for the sake of the upbuilding of his church and the putting away of sin within his church, that in that holy zeal they have besought the Lord to curse their enemies. Oh, how are we? We are in general more concerned with our own name than we are with the name of the Lord. Cursing, we read here, but also perjury. What is that perjury? That is to lie under oath. That is to swear falsely, knowingly, thus not by mistake, no, but that we do it purposely. That we enter, for example, into a court, and that we have an intention to speak that which is not true, to deny something that we have done after we have made an oath and that we will tell the truth before the Lord. What are we doing there? Then we are calling upon the name of the Lord, that He will be a witness to our lie. And God, congregation, is a God of truth. And therefore it is a fearful and it is a very daring thing. And when we will, under oath, calling God to witness, lie. All lying, boys and girls. All falsehood. And that is wicked and that is evil. But there's lying under oath that is an especially fearful sin. Cursing, perjury, rash, swearing. What is that? That is to use an oath unnecessarily, but and the Lord willing, we hope to address that next time. How many false doctrines, congregation, are not also put under the name of truth? That is to lie in the name of the Lord. What a serious thing that it is to stand in this place when man will come before others and be supposed to lead him into all the truth. And then to take that word of truth, those holy scriptures, and twist and turn them to support all kinds of evil doctrines, free will, antinomianism, Roman Catholicism, or semi-Pelagianism. How many people, under that color of truth, unknowingly are led to an awful destruction, and that all taking place under the name of that Most High God. How many sins are not justified under the name of sound religion? Paul's liberty that is taken as a license in our day to follow in all the sins of the world. And then on the other hand, that careful and that tender walk of God's children that is called legalistic. Then it is condemned. In that name, then we are able to serve the Lord alone. Or then it is said to be Christendom. And then in practice, we are serving two gods, God and Mammon. What an awful thing that was. Young people, Absalom, he came to his father, and under such a righteous pretense, he said to his father, I have a desire that I may go and pay that vow that I have vowed unto the Lord. And you know what was in his heart. There was all kind of evil. That is not only done by Absalom. We can even read of Jacob himself, that blessed and dear child of the Lord, all left one moment. And what is man capable of? Oh, he says to his father, he says, the Lord thy God brought it unto me. Oh, in the name of the Lord. And then to go in the way of pretense. In our days, of course, there is in our land an open disdain of that name of the Lord. Then we can read how that men would like to take that name out of every public place, every cult, and Satan worship itself that has to be tolerated, that has to be respected, and a blessed name of the Lord that is openly ridiculed and that is openly profaned in our country. That is no different than Pharaoh. That so boldly then he may say, "Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice?" Then what a fearful time that you and I are living in. A time when there is no fear before the eyes of men, when it is actually open rebellion, that we may truly ask ourselves, how long is the Lord going to bear with such an abuse of his holy name? Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Oh, when we read how that name is revered before his throne, and how that they cry out, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty." Oh, how it ought to bring respect and reverence in all that we do, but especially in our most holy duties. Then it should be, as the Lord Jesus has declared in that prayer that he taught his disciples to pray, "Hallowed be thy name." But by nature we have no impression. By nature we are dead to it. And that is a fearful thing. Why? Because of the seriousness of using this name in vain. That is our second thought, but let us sing first. Psalter 138, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Thus speaks the Lord, "To wicked men my statutes, why do ye declare? Why take my covenant in your mouth? And since ye for wisdom do not care, for ye my holy words profane, and cast them from you in disdain." 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 138. is then the profaning of God's name by swearing and cursing so heinous a sin that his wrath is kindled against those who do not endeavor, as much as in them lies, to prevent and forbid such cursing and swearing? It undoubtedly is, for there is no sin greater or more provoking to God than the profaning of his name. And therefore he has commanded this sin to be punished with death. What are actually the words, congregation, of that commandment? That is, the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Thus, that is a very strong threat that comes from the side of the Lord concerning the use of this holy name. Will not be held guiltless. By whom are men held guilty or guiltless? That is, by a judge. That is, before a court of law that judges a criminal. And for every sin that we are guilty, for cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things that are written in that book of the law to do them. But we read that there is no sin as this sin, our fathers say. For there is no sin greater or more provoking to God than the profaning of his name. We can understand a little bit when our name is provoked. Oh, then we ourselves are provoked when our name is abused. How much more then that holy name of God? And how shall we appear before that judgment seat of God when we are guilty of using his name in such a way? And he shows the seriousness of this sin by its punishment. That we have read together, it was the death penalty. He that blasphemeth the name of the Lord shall be put to death. And it is especially this sin for which we become guilty even by a passive listening. Our fathers say, nor by silence or connivance be partakers of these horrible sins in others. Thus, when the devil, when his subjects abuse that name of the Lord, then we have a duty. Then we do not free ourselves by our silence and by the fact that we are not doing as they are doing. That is a duty that especially belongs to those who are in authority, that especially belongs to governors, to the heads of families, to the heads of churches, to the heads of schools, teachers, principals. But then there is not one of us that also does not have such a duty. Connivance. But what connivers we are. Because then we pretend that we do not hear it. Why? Because we are such fearers of men. And really, we are fearers of men more than we fear the Lord. The sins of omission, and they are just as great as the sins of commission. It is true, we do have to have an opportunity. It is true, and that opportunity is not always there. But must we not say that we also are connivers? Why? Because that love for the name of the Lord, because that love is not burning within our heart as it ought. For the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Oh, it is that judgment day going to manifest when we will stand there. That long suffering of the Lord that is so very, very great. And that is not only for the nation. That is not only for others who live in open sin, but that is also for us. That is for you and for me. That vain use of that name of the Lord that is now lying in the heart of every one of us. Or when we don't see it, it is only because we have not been shown enough of ourselves. Agur was afraid of being rich, but he was afraid also of being poor. Why? He said, lest I should steal and lest I should take that name of my God, he says, in vain. He says, that is lying also within my own heart. The corruption of our heart. That is so very, very great. It only needs to be opened. It only needs to be shown unto us. And then we shall abhor ourselves in dust and in ashes. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Briefly, that we use that holy name of God no otherwise than with fear and reverence. So that he may be rightly confessed and worshipped by us and be glorified in all our words and works. Oh, to be rightly confessed and to be rightly worshipped by us, that is congregation, the purpose of our creation. And that is that new and that living desire that is now laying in that heart of that newborn. The psalmist, he said, holy and reverend is thy name. Does that ever live also in your own heart? Oh, if we will confess, as they say, and rightly confess and worship him, then we need to come to know that name of the Lord. And how can we come to know that name of the Lord? Because that name is revealed to us in the Holy Scriptures. Is that ever a wonder to us that we may be under the proclamation of that holy name of God, Sabbath after Sabbath days? Or is that name of God, is that just for us empty? Is that for us just vanity? What does the Lord call himself? He calls himself the judge. Did that name of the Lord ever become more than vanity in your life? Did you ever truly believe that he is your judge? And that as soon that you also are going to stand before him in judgment. What does he call himself? He calls himself the Holy God. Did that ever become more than vanity? That you live and that you walk in the sight day by day of a Holy God. What does he call himself? He calls himself our Creator. Did that ever have meaning in your life? Was that ever more than vain words, a vain name, that He is your Creator, and that you were created to love and to serve and to worship Him? What does He call Himself? He calls Himself our Provider. Oh, it is by Him that we live and that we move and we have our being. Was that ever more than vain words, a vain name to us? That He gave us that strength by which we continue to commit sin against Him? What does He call Himself? He calls Himself Savior. He calls Himself Redeemer. Was that ever more than a vain word, a vain name to us? Or have every time that we have said that name, have we taken the name of the Lord our God in vain? Did we ever need Him as our Savior? Did we ever cry to Him as the only Savior? Oh, you understand. And then as long as we are yet unconverted, and that we have no impression in our hearts of that the names of the Lord, that we are using day by day that name of the Lord in vain. But congregation, how precious and do those names of the Lord become to one who learns himself to be such a wretched and a miserable and a hell-deserving creature. When we can read in the Word of God that He is the Sovereign One, that He says, I am the first and that I am the last. Oh, what a blessedness, what a fullness is experienced by that people of in that name. And that He will finish perfectly that thing that He has undertaken for me. Oh, how precious that He is the first one. And when I feel myself to be lying so polluted in my own blood and cast out in that open field. Oh, that name of Almighty God. Oh, what a precious name. And to those who feel themselves to be so without strength, unable to put away sin, and having no power to reconcile themselves unto God again. Oh, the Almighty God, that divine being. Oh, what a precious name unto lepers. Precious name unto the blind and the deaf and the dumb. Even those who are laying dead and in the grave. Because then He is the one who can speak the word only. And that He can say, Lazarus, come forth. Oh, He calls Himself prophet. What a precious name. And when we feel ourselves to be so ignorant. That He is the priest. What a precious name. And when we feel ourselves to be so guilty and in need of that sacrifice. That He calls Himself king. And what a precious name when we feel ourselves to be one that is continually wandering away and standing in need of that rule of that King of Kings. Oh, what did David do? He cried. He says, Oh Lord, he says, Thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. Oh, they were not empty words to David. Oh, and may we ever speak so. Lord, Thou art my refuge. In the days of tribulation, in the time of distress, then it is no taking of the name of the Lord in vain, no. But then it is using that name
as the Lord will have His name to be used. And then it is coming up into the ears of that Lord of Sabaoth, that He may hear from heaven His dwelling place, and He may look upon His afflicted people, and that He may have respect unto them. Congregation, oh, there is one name given under heaven by which we must be saved. Oh, is there now room? Is there now place for that name in our hearts this day? Oh, we must confess, each and every one, such transgressors of every commandment of the Lord, and then also of taking that name of the Lord in vain so many times. But is there not now room for that name of Him who has come to pay that price for sin? Oh, when the transgression of His commandments, when they may only come as an arrow into our heart, and that we must say, take me out of the battle, for I am sore wounded, and that we may see that no, it is not only a matter of this or of that transgression, but it is a matter of the corruption that lies within our heart, then there is only a fountain that is able to wash away the transgression which lies within our heart. And now that fountain, congregation, oh, let us not despise that name, but that fountain is proclaimed that you may be washed and that you may be cleansed in that blessed name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you may be received blameless and without spot and wrinkle and before the throne of God, and there live with Him, there to glorify and to magnify His holy and blessed name forever and forever. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, what can we say to Thee? Oh, we are so guilty, guilty, guilty. But if there may be but one drop of that precious blood to be applied to us and to our dear children, then it is possible that we may be cleansed from all our transgressions, the sins of commission and the sins of omission. Lord, use Thy word and make place and room for him who has come to seek and to save that which is lost, and to cleanse that which is filthy, and to redeem that which is gone astray and lost. Remember us in the rest of this day. Or wilt Thou give us to keep Thy Sabbath day holy? Or give that in our own homes, if that is where we shall be, that we may take up Thy word, but also that which may be based thereon, that we may search therein, with a need, with a cry for our own soul. And wilt Thou be with all Thy servants, forgive our sins, be with us in the week to come, and when we hope to meet as a consistory, stand on our right and on our left, and when we hope to meet with the young people and the children for catechism classes, wilt Thou give diligence in the study of the doctrines of Thy word, and when we hope to meet also with the congregation in a way of an information meeting. Lord, may Thou bless all these endeavors, and may Thou go with us also in our ways in this life, each one in our place. And may Thou give that Thy word may be the thought and meditation of our hearts, to bring forth fruit some 30, 60, or 100-fold for Jesus' sake. Amen. Our closing psalter is number 374, stanzas 1, 3, and 4. Oh, praise ye the name of Jehovah. Proclaim ye his glory abroad. Oh, praise him, ye servants appointed to stand in the house of our God. 1, 3, and 4 of Psalter 374. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.